Welcome to Make It Rain with Adam Schein on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yes, Monday it is. Sure, Make It Rain with Adam Schein here on VSiN. And my goodness, we have so much to do today. What a weekend in sports. I mean, I'm going to make this case for you. And you know how into the tennis I was based upon Friday's sizzling edition of Make It Rain with Adam Schein. The Alcaraz win and that match against Sinner was the single greatest sporting event of 2025. And you want to talk about live, in-game, in-match betting? My goodness, it doesn't get any wilder and crazier than what we saw with Alcaraz and Sinner and everything that transpired on the men's side. We told you we had a couple of good bets on Coco Gauff. I wish we would have picked the actual upset special, but we like Coco to take care of business, and we had some good bets in terms of whether or not she would be able to take a set and how many sets she would take. And listen, we cashed on those puppies, but that was just an incredible weekend in sports. Honestly, I thought the tennis was amazing. The hockey Friday night was incredible. We're going to have our guy JD, Jonathan Davis, VSiN.com superstar, betting analyst, a hockey guru and aficionado, joining us coming up in 30 minutes. We'll break down the Stanley Cup final, game number 3. We have some baseball plays for tonight. We'll get into the Packers saying goodbye to one of their best players. We'll get into the Red Sox and the Yankees. We'll get into the Dodgers and the Padres. We'll get into everything going on in Major League Baseball. The Braves are sputtering. Paul Skeens continues to dominate and dazzle, even though he can't get a win right about now. How about everything that transpired last night with the Oklahoma City Thunder? Absolutely dominant and in cruise control when you take a look at what transpired in game number 2. Look, the final score was 123-107. Thunder obviously covered the 11.5-point spread. The overhits, and honestly, it wasn't even that close, and they won by 16 points. So that tells you all you need to know about what transpired with regards to the genius and domination of OKC last night. You had to figure, based upon what transpired with OKC and how they lost in game number 1, they were going to come out with a vengeance in game number 2, and they were not going to be denied. Obviously, SGA is something special, and the fact that he pumped in 34 points and had 8 assists and 5 rebounds, and he only turned it over a handful of times, and he had steals, and SGA was a model of domination and efficiency, 11-21 from the field. The mid-range J was on fire, and it was dominant, and it was pure. And listen, when the Thunder win this series and win this championship, this team is going to be recognized as one of the great single-season teams in the history of the NBA. When SGA ends up winning this championship, on the heels of winning the MVP, he's going to be recognized as having one of the great single seasons in the history of the NBA at the guard position. And what SGA and company did, it was absolutely brilliant and it was breathtaking. And I thought SGA was sensational. Chet Holmgren, to start the game, had more points in the first quarter than he did in game 1 in total. And that was absolutely incredible, and I love watching that. Jalen Williams was awesome. He had 19 points. And that is a legitimate big three. And their togetherness and their toughness and their teamwork was all on a wonderful display when you take a look at it. Alex Caruso is just a winning ball player. He's won a championship. He won with Los Angeles. They got him in the offseason. The way he's played defense during the course of this postseason, what he's done, obviously, going up against the likes of Nikola Jokic and being an Energizer Bunny, it's just incredible to watch. He had 20 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist. And every time he comes into a game, he adds a ton of energy. Lou Dort and his amazing defense. Harkenstein and what he brings to the table. How about Aaron Wiggins last night? 18 points. He was absolutely tremendous. And I thought that the total team effort, the ambiance, the statement right from the jump, this thing was really decided early. And on the flip side, I'm not going to sit here and knock the Pacers. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's fair. Look, Tyrese Haliburton is a tremendous player. He's great. He's a star. He's a superstar. However, however the hell you want to frame it for your own purposes, I'm fine with that. You know, Halliburton has a knack of being a great player when he doesn't score, so it's tough for me to get on him for being under 20 points yet again. I mean, we saw the heroics in game one. We've seen the heroics and the domination this entire postseason. But I do think it is fair to criticize and give, you know, compliments and deserve kudos and accolades to OKC at the same time. Tyrese Halliburton, first three quarters last night, was nondescript. He did not play well. The Oklahoma City Thunder defense, which you knew was going to be great. It's been great all year. They've been dominant all season long. The fans were into it. They absolutely destroyed the Indiana Pacers. Flummoxed Tyrese Halliburton. Really couldn't get going. Really couldn't get into it. And once again, they didn't have any players that were above 20 points. And, you know, it's one thing when you win and it's okay, togetherness and teamwork for Indiana. When you lose, it's okay. I mean, nobody really got going. Spicy P, Pascal Siakam, obviously prolific and dominant for the Indiana Pacers throughout the course of this postseason. Obviously a winner, obviously a champion. He won a championship in Toronto. He was 3-11 for the field. And when that's the case, when Halliburton's a star, you're not really solely reliant on your star to score the basketball. That's going to be how this one is going to go. So I think this was under the umbrella of, as expected, SGA, his 12 30-point game of the playoffs. I mean, think about that for a second. 12th, 30th-point game of this postseason. He is absolutely remarkable. OKC is 18-2 after a loss this year. They rarely lose, regular season and postseason, 18-2. And for betting purposes, and we talked about this on Friday, sizzling edition of Make It Rain with Adam Schein, 12 of those 18 wins by double-digit points. 12 of those 18 wins, 18-2 after a loss, are by double digits. So that's always a smart bet, a safe bet. The Denver series, when they dropped game one in the fashion that they did, that was a good harbinger of things to come on that. They dropped game three against Minnesota in wild fashion, and then bam, never look back, and able to just rock and roll and able to cover the spread. Talent, coaching, depth, determination, mentality. It's legendary for OKC, and I'm not throwing those words around. I mean, you know, if this team was playing in Boston or playing in Los Angeles, you know, they'd make documentaries about the 24 to 2025 Oklahoma City Thunder. That's what we're talking about here. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Indiana's cooked. You know, in fact, nothing has changed for me when you take a look at the series odds, right? And OKC is still a pretty massive favorite, not as much as they were before Indiana took game one. But we expected the Pacers to get a game in OKC, and they did. And we expect the Indiana Pacers to get another game throughout the course of this series. And I expect OKC to win in six. And that's not an overreaction to what has transpired so far. That is exactly what we predicted when the Pacers beat the Knicks. And frankly, what we predicted even before the Pacers beat the Knicks. I thought if the Knicks won, OKC would win in five. If the Pacers won on matchups, then OKC would win in six. The only thing that to me would be stunning here is if somehow the Indiana Pacers ended up winning the NBA championship. I don't think that will be the case. I just think that this Thunder team, they're destined. It's their time to shine. Hope you paid attention before the season started when we said SGA for MVP, OKC for the Larry O, and this team would be a champion, and we locked that in terms of a preseason play and a preseason bet, and here we are. Now, we're going to have a small hiatus when you look at the next game that's on the docket here. You know, obviously no game today, no game Tuesday, so we're going to have to wait until Wednesday for game number three. And it is interesting taking a look at the early line for OKC in Indiana. And I want to stress this, right? It's the first finals game in Indiana, in Indianapolis, in 25 years. So the joint's going to be jumping. That crowd is amazing. The number of 5.5, I mean, I almost feel punked, right? When you take a look at this one, I feel like OKC should be able to win this game by more than 5.5 points. Indiana has been amazing this postseason. The crowd's going to be amazing. You have to expect that Halliburton will play better and more dominant, more efficient early on. Obi Toppin was terrible last night. Turned back into a pumpkin. 1 of 8 from the field. 1 of 5 from three. Usually role players, the Toppins, the Mathurins, the McConnells of the world, they'll play better at home. History most certainly dictates that. And I do think the Pacers, I want to stress this, will take another game. But I think on the heels of game one to game two, the comments that the Thunder players made after game one in terms of regaining that legendary focus and team-oriented play and everything that we documented, I think, and we've got a couple of days to lock this in and some props as well, but I think the logic would dictate that you take OKC not only to win, but to lay the 5.5 with the Thunder. I just don't think that SGA is going to be denied at this stage. And you look at the Thunder and how they've played. You look at the points being scored. I mean, the over looks like a pretty strong bet here when you take a look at the early read for this. You know, OKC has had SGA hit the over on points in consecutive games. How about 72 points for SGA, first two games in the NBA Finals? That is officially, for first two games in your first NBA Finals, a new NBA record. It was set by Allen Iverson in his first two games and his incredible history in the NBA Finals. And now it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I just think it's kind of all a bit of semantics in a great kind of way. I'm into this series. I'm into the finals. I'm into all of it. I just think it's OKC's world, and we're just living in it.
Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You want to bet smarter this football season? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. A no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now, get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from the hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-2026 NFL betting guide. It drops on July the 1st. Please do not miss out on this limited-time offer. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe, use the promo code BOOK to sign up. VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Sports. You gotta love sports. This was from Friday night with the Stanley Cup final to Saturday with tennis, Sunday with tennis, with all the baseball, with obviously the basketball last night. So many reasons this weekend why you could say you gotta love sports. And I feel compelled to start. And we talked about this at length from a betting perspective on Friday's sizzling edition of Make It Rain with Adam Schein. I thought that Carlos Alcaraz and Jannik Sinner and what transpired at the French Open, I thought that was the sporting event of 2025. Pound for pound, that was the greatest sporting event, better than any football game, better than any basketball game, baseball game, college football, college basketball, NFL, anything you want to throw at me. Look, game one, game two of the Stanley Cup final, been off the charts, amazing. But there was something out of this world, unprecedented greatness when it comes to what we witnessed with Alcaraz and Sinner. And how about it? I mean, my goodness. You had Alcaraz down 5-3, love 40, on serve, force set, but he was able to somehow survive, recover, and advance. It was, in fact, the longest French Open final ever. 5 hours and 29 minutes. It was coffee, breakfast, and lunch for me watching the whole thing. Alcaraz, number two, going up against Sinner, number one. In no way, shape, or form am I going to call this a collapse by Sinner. I thought this was all about incredible, legendary, out of this world, out of control shot making. I mean, the cross-court winners by Alcaraz on the forehand was just incredible. The backhand, I mean, the power, the precision was just insane. And think about, obviously, as I mentioned, Sinner number one, Alcaraz number two. And we're talking about, you know, obviously Alcaraz. And he's down 4-6, 6-7, and then wins 6-4, 7-6, 7-6, 10-2 in the tiebreaker. I mean, the whole thing was pulsating. You think about, obviously, yeah, the fact that Sinner had won a couple of consecutive majors, going for his third straight. Alcaraz is trying to get, and he did, consecutive French Open titles, and that certainly proved to be the case. You think about the history, right? You know, 2008 Wimbledon final with Nadal beating Federer, 4 hours, 48 minutes. That's an all-timer to me. I'm of the opinion, that, as you know, that Novak Djokovic is the greatest of all time. So I go to 2012 Australian Open with Djokovic and Nadal. That, to me, is an all-timer. The U.S. Open in 2009, Federer losing. And that was when you had Federer and you had Nadal and Djokovic, and it was kind of a rotation. Who's number one at a specific time? It was a real high point for men's tennis. And Del Porto, out of nowhere, just was able to beat Federer. That was wild. And John McEnroe, who was phenomenal in the incredible coverage for TNT on their broadcast, he referenced when he succumbed to Lendl in 84, the French Open, when he was up 2-0, and I remember that incredibly well. And 2019 with Joker and Federer, that was wild as well. So just absolutely incredible. The quality of the tennis, the drama, the theater, everything that we witnessed, man, you gotta love sports. And look, you gotta love sports on Saturday morning on the women's side for the French Open. Coco Gauff. And we hit a lot of these bets when we said on Friday's edition of Make It Rain with Adam Schein that we'd like Gauff to win at least one set at minus 165 and over 2.5 sets at plus 125. So we hit on those. So I'm thrilled about that. Coco Gauff able to beat Sabalenka. I did not like what Sabalenka had to say after. You know, basically said she apologized for playing terrible tennis as opposed to giving Coco the credit that she richly deserved. Second Grand Slam title. First American to win the French Open since Serena in 2015. This was incredible. And again, Coco was down early, lost 6-7, then won 6-2, 6-4, and honestly, she was absolutely sensational. So Coco Gauff, tremendous. That was amazing theater and amazing drama on Saturday morning. Coco Gauff, and especially if you bet what we told you to bet on Friday, you gotta love sports. I don't think it's exaggeration or hyperbole to say that the first two games of the Stanley Cup Final, legendary. And you could make a case that these are the best two first games ever in Stanley Cup Final history. Here's the best way to frame it. We've had more overtimes than games. Three overtimes, two games. That's when you know this is next level. The series is tied at one. Both games were won by overtime goals. It's absolutely crazy. You know, obviously on the heels of Wednesday, Friday was wild. You know, all I wanted to do was go to sleep on the heels of, you know, Wednesday in the NHL, Thursday in the NBA. And I'm up until 1 in the morning watching playoff hockey in double overtime. It was Brad Marchand, who, if he's on your team, if you love him, if he's not, do you think he's a pain in the derriere? And that breakaway game-winning goal against my guy Stu Skinner, who was excellent in overtime, that was crazy. Truth be told, and you know I picked the Oilers to win this one, you know, you take a look at it, and the Oilers, I thought, were going to be able to get a dub after Corey Perry scored with 17, 18 seconds to go at the end of the third period. That was absolutely huge, and the joint was jumping in Edmonton. But the high-level hockey, the first two games of this series, the stars, how they've played, Marchand and, you know, Sam Bennett scoring goals left and right, and bobbins, Stu Skinner between the pipes, and obviously Leon Draisaitl, and most especially Connor McDavid, who has been absolutely breathtaking. And I am so fired up for game number three coming up tonight. The game, of course, shifts. The series shifts to Florida. And I like Edmonton. I like Edmonton on the money line. You know that I'm taking Edmonton to win the Stanley Cup. Love what Draisaitl had to say after the game. Look, obviously it sucked, but, you know, they're ready to, you know, compartmentalize and move on. So we are going to roll here, obviously, with Edmonton taking care of business. And, you know, look, we said Edmonton in six. I'm going to stay with that, because I still very much believe that it's true. I think more conventional wisdom now, based upon the first two games, is that this series goes seven. But my goodness, this start to the Stanley Cup final, you gotta love sports. If you're a Pirates fan, rare moment where you say you gotta love sports. How about Paul Skeens? This guy is absolutely positively untouchable, and this was a brilliant performance. Now, he didn't get the win because they pulled him, but the Pirates were able to bust out the brooms and win and sweep away the Philadelphia Phillies, who have hit the skids, but this is a monster series win here by Paul Skeens and by the Pittsburgh Pirates. Seven innings pitch plus only one run, and that was incredible when you take a look at it. And, you know, seven strikeouts, one walk, and this is, you know, par for the course. And Paul Skeens, in his last seven starts, has a 1.12 ERA. That's amazing. But just one win. I mean, it's crazy. He's under 500, and he's currently the favorite to win the NL Cy Young, if you look at the betting odds. So I just wish Pittsburgh would get more talent around him and join the world in Major League Baseball, because Paul Skeens, you gotta love sports. Now, Yankees, Red Sox always makes you say you gotta love sports. I'm not gonna say it in reference to the series winner, because you know I'm a diehard Yankees fan, but this really was a wild ride. It's always fun when you see three games that are high scoring, as they always are with Yankees, Red Sox, and betting the over and cashing the ticket. Always a good thing when it comes to the Yankees, Red Sox, and the history involved. And you saw Aaron Boone, you know, really just botch the batting order and who was going to be in the field and not playing Volpe and Jazz on Saturday night. Yarbrough got hit around a little bit, didn't have the proper defense. And then you saw Boston take the rubber game, which was ridiculously impressive, obviously. And that was one where Carlos Rodon, you know, had it and then blew it. And Boston went bombs away, and Rafael Devers didn't hustle earlier in the game, hit a bomb, his 30th in his career against the Yankees. Fastest in the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry from a Boston perspective to get to 30 against the New York Yankees, Manny Ramirez, Rafael Devers, Big Poppy, Jim Rice, Ted Williams. And, you know, as a Yankee fan, when you check out the AL East odds, I hope this didn't get the Red Sox going, because it's been all Yankees all the time in the AL East. I still think the Yankees second-best team behind Detroit in the American League, but my goodness, it's the best rivalry in baseball, Yankees-Red Sox. You've got to love sports.
You're watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, VSiN fans, how would you like to play the Circuit Survivor or the Circuit Million contest for free this season? Winner's Circle Praxi, giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest. Plus full proxy service, and get this, you're going to be paired with a VSiN host for strategy all season long. Enter now for your chance to win. Just visit the winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Welcome back, Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Joining us right now live on the Progressive Guest Line. You know him, you love him, you can't live without him. Our guy, VSiN.com, NHL betting analyst and superstar, Jonathan Davis, who's nice enough to give us a few minutes live on the Progressive Guest Line. JD, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great after that intro. It's only downhill from here, Adam.
That's well said. And it's really only downhill in theory based upon the first two games of the Stanley Cup final. I mean, Jonathan, I've never seen anything like this. And people always say, and I always say, and it's true, the Stanley Cup playoffs are undefeated. They're always the best. And, you know, this year, I was kind of hoping we'd get a rematch. I thought that'd be great for the NHL. We got the rematch. It's been great for the NHL. We've had more overtimes than actual games. The Stars have come to play. How would you describe the first two games of the Stanley Cup Final? Because I find it to be mesmerizing, breathtaking, and just simply sensational.
Adam, you know, it's not too often that the sequel is better than the original. I mean, maybe Rocky II was better than Rocky I. This has been phenomenal. You mentioned it. I mean, we've had three overtime periods. We were 20 seconds away from two double overtime games. So, look, this is a series that could, you know, 1-1 is very deserving, but it could easily be 2-0 for one of the two teams.
I think you're right about that. Which ending do you think was more wild? When you look at what happened with McDavid and Draisaitl in the overtime, you know, that one-timer at the end of game one, or Marchand on that breakaway, Jonathan, at the end of game two, at the end of double overtime?
I think game two was more dramatic. I mean, it was a puck that just kind of found its way. Brad Marchand kind of fanned on the shot, and it, you know, it trickled between the legs of Stuart Skinner. Look, that night marked the 14th year anniversary of the last time Brad Marchand even scored a shorthanded goal in the Stanley Cup playoffs. He did it against the Vancouver Canucks, and the guys on Hockey Night showed it. And Kevin Bieksa was one of the guys, I believe, on the ice for the Canucks in that game 14 years ago. Marchand's been a revelation. You know, there's only one player that has more points on the Panthers than Marchand, and I think that's Sam Bennett. So, look, this is everything that Florida had hoped for and more when they acquired Marchand at the deadline.
So I'm curious, having seen these first two games, and I picked the Oilers in six, and conventional wisdom was, whoever you pick, chances are it'll go seven. Is now the time, wherever you lean, would you advise get in on this series going seven games?
Well, I wouldn't, because I have to stick to my guns. I've got Edmonton minus 1.5 series game, 1.5 games for the series spread. So I'm not, I won't change my initial thought. I have to stick to my guns here. So I wouldn't, because, you know, just again, just on my bet pre-series.
Listen, I love that, and I'm staying with mine with the Oilers in six, and I expect Edmonton to come out tonight and play incredibly well, and I love what Draisaitl had to say after the game on Friday night and then talking to the press leading up to the game tonight. And look, obviously I know, and Florida has become, Miami, South Florida, a great hockey town. Seriously, it used to be atrocious. Now the fans are amazing. They're omnipresent. They're knowledgeable. Florida plays well at home. But Edmonton could win at home, on the road, on the moon. It's still McDavid and Draisaitl. How much credence do you give home ice for Florida in a game like this tonight?
You know, I think these teams are just so evenly matched. I wouldn't be surprised if it was 2-2. Going back to Edmonton for game five on Friday. So look, Florida has been a phenomenal home team. They were a great road team as well in the playoffs. So yeah, look, the playoffs are just a different beast. You know, momentum, as players will tell you, don't go from game to game. They go from shift to shift within a game. And when Corey Perry was asked after game number two, you know, how, you know, do you see this having any lingering effects? And he quickly reminded people, hey, we lost to Vegas with 0.4 seconds to go and then came back and won the next two games by a shutout. So this Edmonton team is not going to be bothered by the double overtime loss.
Yeah, we're on the exact same page on that. I don't flinch. I'm unfazed because I don't think they flinch and I don't think they're fazed. So we're on the exact same page there. So we have this game tonight, and honestly, I'm counting down. I can't wait for it. I mentioned I'm picking Edmonton. Jonathan, give us some of your plays for tonight. What are you playing with the Oilers and the Panthers?
All right, a couple of ways I approach it. So coming into the final, we had 11 straight games and 20 of 22 playoff games that were decided by two goals or more. I went with that trend in both the first two games. I lost. I don't see us getting to overtime for a third straight game. I, you know, I just don't, I think the odds are against it. When you look back at the playoffs last, the final between these two teams last year, three of the four games in Florida were decided by two goals or more. The only game that wasn't was that game 7-2-1 final. So I'm coming back with both teams minus 1.5. You get the Oilers at about plus 265. You get Florida at plus 170. It's been a big profit, big money maker for me throughout the playoffs. So I'm going to stick with that. I like Evander Kane over 4.5 hits tonight. It's pretty pricey at minus 160, but the books have been peeling back on this hit prop as quickly as they started it. But Kane has had five or more hits in eight straight games. Matthias Ekholm of the Oilers had gone eight straight games before game two with at least two block shots. I'm going to come back with that tonight. On the Florida side, Brad Marchand to get just a point and Carter Verhaeghe just to record an assist. I mean, look, Marchand's been deadly. You know, 63 goals for number 63 career playoff games, but I like his price. It's minus 105 just to get a point. And Verhaeghe is about plus 160 for a guy that led the playoffs, the final last year in points. He's the assist leader for the Panthers with 12. So those are some of the plays that I've got. The rest of my stuff is up at on the website on VSiN.com.
I love that. And you know, I'm always checking you out on VSiN.com. I mean, I don't make a play on the NHL without checking out what you have to say, Jonathan. And I'm curious and I'm being serious.
A smart
right?
move.
And listen, I know what I'm doing. I'm no dummy. I'm no fool. Now, when you take a look at the ice conditions, right, and the series shifts back to Florida, and it's different, obviously, than Edmonton, I'm curious, seriously, ice conditions, in any way, shape, or form, does that impact betting the over, under, or shots on goal for Game 3 tonight?
For me, it does. I mean, look, it's 91 degrees in South Florida, 48% humidity. The best ice in the NHL is in Edmonton. You look, I know we're playing indoors, but people understand that there is a tunnel that the players walk into that is wide open for that warm and hot air to get into, and it does affect the ice. Last year, three of the four games had six goals or less, or five goals or less. Three of the four games had five goals or less in Florida. The shots on goal combined were 12 less in Florida than they were in Edmonton. So when you're looking at saves and shots on goal for players, be a little careful on it because, like I said, the numbers drop down. Look, the ice gets chippy. Opportunities become a little less. So as a respect to over and under tonight, I can't go over the total. I can't go under the total the way these first two games have played, but I won't bet the over either.
Conn Smythe, I'm curious who you bet, who you picked before, and where you're at right now in terms of odds to win the Conn Smythe.
Well, I'm in a really good spot, Adam, because going into round three, I got Leon Draisaitl at 15-1 for the Conn Smythe. I had Sergei Bobrovsky at plus 850, and I've got Sam Bennett at 39-1. So I'm feeling really good where I'm at right now. I did grab Connor at even money before the final. But yeah, the Bennett price is just, but the other prices are just way too good. So I'm feeling really good about where I'm at.
Listen, this is why I love you. And I'm loving the hockey. It has just been absolutely incredible. You know, the crowd support in Edmonton, they're foaming at the mouth. They can feel it. They can taste it. The fans in South Florida, it's really become a great hockey town. And that joint's going to be jumping tonight. I'm really excited about that. The TNT coverage has been amazing. Jonathan, keep up the great work. I love reading you, love following you, love watching you. Keep up the outstanding work and all the great bets, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Adam, thanks for having me. Take care. Good luck to you tonight.
Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today, edgeboost.bet with the promo code RAIN. Deposit $25, Edge Boost is going to match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Welcome back. Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Time for our news, notes, nuggets, and nightly plays. And how about this? The Mavericks are going to work out Cooper Flagg on June 17th. This is kind of a big deal and a big story, and it's going to be a harbinger of things to come, because once Cooper Flagg has his workout next Tuesday, that will in fact lock him in to the number one pick in the NBA draft. The Mavs are not working out any other prospects, so it is not in any way, shape, or form worth betting on who's going to be drafted first overall in the NBA draft, because it's a lock. It's over. It's done. It's Cooper Flagg. And I still can't believe that the Mavericks landed the number one pick in the NBA draft with just a 1.8% chance of getting that top pick. Crazy. You gotta love sports. Or hate sports, depending upon your perspective. And I think what's fascinating here is how this news of the day factors in when it comes to, and the timing of it, because I'm always paying attention to these things, how it factors into the Knicks coaching search. Because Jason Kidd, he was on my short list. Remember, I had four names on my list, and I was pissed when the Knicks fired Tom Thibodeau. Obviously, it's Dan Hurley. Doesn't sound likely. Ime Udoka, not happening. Jason Kidd and Johnny Bryant. Those are the four names that I could tolerate and deal with under the circumstance as a Knicks fan. If the Mavs didn't have the number one pick in the draft, I really think Jason Kidd would already be the Knicks coach. I think that Dallas would let him go. I think Kidd's probably sick and tired of Nico Harrison, who traded Luka Doncic and ownership, and there's a trust issue. And remember, you know, Jason Kidd, who coached Jalen Brunson in Dallas, and when the Knicks hired Tom Thibodeau years ago, the runner-up was Jason Kidd. Remember last week on Make It Rain with Adam Schein, we had Frank Isola on, superstar, SiriusXM NBA Radio, and he thinks Jason Kidd absolutely is in the mix here when it's all said and done to coach the Knicks. So I think that this is possible. I think Cooper Flagg, frankly, is the fly in the ointment. I would love, if I'm Jason Kidd, you'd love to coach Cooper Flagg, but I think that you can win the East faster than you could win the West. I think that New York, limelight, knowing Brunson, Rose, he played for Knicks, which means he knows all-encompassing everything, the good and the distraction and the ugly when it comes to working for Jim Dolan. I think Jason Kidd is very much in the conversation. And if Kidd's in the mix for the Knicks, I could see Kevin Durant. And certainly Kidd and Giannis Antetokounmpo have a great relationship going back to when Kidd was the coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. So that's obviously something to keep your eye on as well. So big NFL news today as the Green Bay Packers released Jaire Alexander. And this was weird. Very, very bizarre. First of all, I could have seen a trade. Second of all, the Packers don't really have much depth or talent when you look at it at the cornerback position. You know, they obviously have to deal with a ton of excellent wide receivers and quarterbacks and passing attacks in the division. Think about all those Jaire Alexander and Justin Jefferson battles through the years, not to mention Amon-Ra St. Brown, and not to mention now here's Caleb Williams working with Ben Johnson. This was a weird one, a really bizarre one. I know Mark Murphy, the president of the Packers, threw some shade in the direction, saying they're used to playing without Jaire Alexander, because obviously he's been off injured, but you still have to replace him. And I think there's a real shot Jaire Alexander goes to the Minnesota Vikings. So, you know, in a division where everyone's win total is between 8.5 and 10.5, and you see the Packers, their preseason total, the over-under is at 9.5. When you look at their schedule, you know, this is a tough one. I mean, Green Bay could easily start the season here. I know both games are at home. Easily start the season 0-2. Like, that's not out of the realm of possibility, not to mention all the other difficult games on the schedule. So getting rid, and I know Alexander can be injured and can be a handful. I'm not naive to that. But getting rid of good players when the margin of error in that division is so thin. Look, I'm not going to take this and say, oh, Packers, 5-win team. But if you win 9 in that division, you can end up in last place. So just something to keep your eye on moving forward here for the Green Bay Packers. I thought that was a strange one. It'll be even stranger if Jaire Alexander ends up with the Minnesota Vikings. Nick Chubb is expected to sign with the Houston Texans. And listen, I hope I'm wrong about what I'm about to say. I'm going to need to see it on Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb suffered that horrific injury week two for the Browns against the Steelers in 2023. He hasn't been the same since. When Nick Chubb was right before the injury, tough, physical, speedy, powerful, dominant. Look, I don't want to minimize him, but he was a June Street free agent for a reason. Cleveland didn't bring him back for a reason. Take a look at the Texans' schedule, the win total. Joe Mixon, obviously, is a three-down back. You know, no market movement on Houston, on over-unders, or winning the division, or Super Bowl odds based upon signing Nick Chubb. I'm rooting for him. I hope that he regains his old form. I just, sadly, based upon the severity of the injury and how Nick Chubb played, I'm just going to need to see it. Aaron Rodgers officially signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is awesome. Saw the tweet this weekend. He put the pen to the paper. He signed the contract. And he's going to talk to the press tomorrow. He's going to win the press conference tomorrow. That's going to be amazing. Mandatory minicamp begins tomorrow. He will be there. It's kind of exciting, and listen, I think that revenge against the Jets week one will definitely be in the cards. Revenge against the Green Bay Packers week number eight will definitely be in the cards. You know, I think that Rodgers, we put up last week all the props in terms of yards and touchdowns. I do think on yards that prop is absolutely going to hit. I think there's a ton of gas left in the tank. And look, however you feel about the Steelers and Rodgers this year, and I still think on paper, having nothing to do with Aaron, it's an 8-9 win football team. And, you know, I still think Cincinnati's better and Baltimore's better. But this is obviously a monster upgrade over Wilson and Fields from last year and a monster upgrade from the depth chart of Rudolph and Thompson and Will Howard that they had last week at this time. Dodgers Padres is going to start a series tonight out west, and I'm really fired up about this. Look, Dodgers Padres got together, and it has my attention. And these teams are, they hate each other. They're rivals. There's a big brother, little brother syndrome going on. Obviously, the Padres close, but no cigar last year. Regular season and then postseason. Dodgers, end of the regular season. Then in the playoffs, roaring back, stole their soul en route to winning a World Series. It's Dustin May against Nick Pivetta tonight. That's a really good matchup. I'm going to roll with the Dodgers. I'm going to go with the Dodgers. It's pretty close in terms of the odds tonight. I'll take Dustin May to get a dub on the road in San Diego. Take a look at the NL West and the odds board here, because I do think this properly underscores when you look at the fact that the Dodgers and the Padres have the same amount of losses. Dodgers, massive favorites in the division, and I agree with that. Giants at 38 and 28. Diamondbacks, oh, three games under 500, and now Arizona has to deal with Corbin Burns, done for the season. Braves are a total disaster. They take on the Brewers tonight. The Braves lost again. The Braves are 10 games under 500. I have been dead wrong on the Atlanta Braves. I thought when Strider and Acuna Jr. came back, they would take off. I thought they would end up finishing ahead of the Mets. It's not the case. I mean, the Mets are 14 games ahead of them in the standings right now. Atlanta's a mess. I mean, we're getting to the stage where you got to believe that they're cooked. I mean, it's Chris Sale against Savali tonight. Brewers are hot. And, you know, it's even, I mean, you want to jump on Milwaukee seeing plus money at plus 132. Not to mention the fact in the division, the Phillies are 1-9 in their last 10. You got Phillies Cubs tonight in Philadelphia. We mentioned the sweep, obviously, and what transpired against Pittsburgh. Wheeler against Boyd tonight. I'll take the Phillies at minus 132. Best Bets brought to you by GBank. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and Visa. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature credit card. First 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 first bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You're going to receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank and Visa signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. Visa completes the trifecta with a free Visa Pro subscription through October the 31st. $200 value. $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. VSiN.com/GBank. One-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer. Terms and conditions apply. Oilers, you're welcome, America. And Canada, Moneyline, plus 124. Stay tuned to VSiN After Make It Rain for Follow the Money with Mitch and Paulie. Thanks to Sean and everyone in the Vegas control room, our great producer, Michael Cohen. Talk to you manana. Make it rain with Adam Schein.